Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
Both genealogies are correct, but the audience that you're talking to, the Jews aren't interested in anybody before Abraham. So why mention it? Okay? If all Matthew needs to do is convince them that Jesus has the legal right to be the Messiah and to take the throne of David as the son of David, all he's got to do is prove to the Jews what they believe.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we take a look at the two genealogies of Jesus found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Part one of this message examines the reasons behind each of the genealogies and shows some of the notable historical figures found in them.
I'd like to open your Bibles and maybe use your ribbon or a bookmark. There are two portions of Scripture that I'd like to look at this morning that contain the genealogy of our Savior Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 of the book of Matthew, so Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3, starting in about verse 23, are the Scriptures that I would pray that the Lord would bless us to study and to examine this morning as we try to preach to you. Watching my son Asa leading with Tim reminds me of a time when Jonah was about 18 months old. And it became a regular Sunday kind of thing that while I was up preaching, I'd look back there and Jonah would go over to the side and he'd lead singing. And then he'd kneel down to pray. You could see that because he'd go put his head up against the wall and he'd stand up and he'd preach. And then he'd pray again, sing a song, and then he'd sit down. And he'd do this about three times. Now, in the space of my sermon, he would do that three times, and it took about 10 minutes, and he was ready to be done. But the reason that I mentioned that to you is because of some of the things that Brother Jeff prayed. Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me." They absorb and enjoy and live what they are learning. We as adults don't. We stink at it, okay? We need to be more like that 18-month-old that lives church, okay? That lives to read the Word of God and that lives to learn more about our Savior. And I pray that's what we're going to do this morning. We've been talking about a lot about John the Baptist and his family. Now we're finally coming back to our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we look at this genealogy this morning. Before we begin, I want you to finish this phrase for me. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, here's what that means. Whenever we have a parent-teacher conference in my school, we have a kid that's acting up and causing all sorts of problems. This is not the good parent-teacher conference. This is the one where you got a problem and you got to solve it. And without fail, I almost said 98% of the time, but I'd say without fail, if we've got a kid that's really got a problem, we have the parent-teacher conference, the parent leaves after it's over, and at least one of the teachers or the principal says, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The kid acts just like mom or dad. That horrible behavior we couldn't stand wasn't going to fix because they were learning it from mom and dad, and mom and dad thought they were doing perfectly fine. What we're going to find, though, this morning is when it comes to Jesus Christ, he's on a completely different tree. He is nothing like what many in his family were, because he is the righteous Son of God. You probably noticed on the front of your bulletin that I have titled this sermon, Knots in Jesus' Family Tree. When you look at his family tree, as we're going to get to eventually this morning, there's some not so pretty folks in that. And I hope we can understand while those are included, they're actually going to be a blessing for us to understand. I want to begin this morning by just looking briefly at the opening of each one of these genealogies, the one that's recorded in Matthew and the one that's recorded in Luke chapter 3. First of all, Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And if you were to read on, you're going to see from generation to generation to generation, eventually coming to Jesus Christ. So Matthew begins at Abraham and concludes at Jesus Christ. Let's look at what Luke says. Luke 3 and 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi. Wait a minute. Those are completely different names. Here is where Bible skeptics will instantly grab a hold of something they heard on Facebook and say, see, the Bible can't be true because these guys don't even have the same genealogy for Christ. Okay? Bible skeptics are fools. There's not a better term for it. We're foolish if we don't study the word itself and just believe what a skeptic says. We're foolish if we just believe what a preacher says and don't study the word of God also. We need to check these things for ourselves and pray that the Lord will bless us. Let me see if I can explain this to you. They are different genealogies. There's not mistakes in the genealogies. The Jews were meticulous in detail, especially when it came to family trees. And nobody in the first century objected to anything that Matthew said or anything that Luke said. So these genealogies are true. And you'll find if you're looking at it, they'll share some names. Okay, from Abraham to David, or as in Luke's case, from David back to Abraham, they share exactly the same names. Matthew only goes back as far as Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. But we find at David, they part company again. And then there's a few names that they share once again, and then we get a lot different things that are happening in this. Here's the easy explanation. It's not difficult to figure out. Luke, being the immaculate writer that he is, handles this for us. If we look here in Matthew, first of all, though, Matthew chapter 1, look in verse 16. We find this, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. According to that verse, who is Joseph's father? Jacob. Okay, now turn with me over to Luke chapter 3. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. What does Luke include in parentheses right there? Which was supposed, okay? From an earthly perspective, they thought that Jesus was Joseph's son. But Luke includes, as was supposed, to say Joseph adopted him, but here's where he really came from, and Heli is Mary's father. Jesus has no connection, bloodline-wise, to Joseph. He has a connection through blood to Mary, whose father is Heli, and on back into the generations. And so what we have here is Matthew records the royal or the legal bloodline of Jesus Christ through Joseph, his adopted father. Which, by the way, the Jews really didn't have a term for father-in-law, and so that's the reason Luke puts this the way he does. Luke records the genealogy through Mary. Okay, when you look at our family trees and it comes down to you, who's next up there? Mom and Dad. That's all that's happening here. Is that out of those main branches, Matthew follows one and Luke follows the other. They're different genealogies. Now, the explanations of why they share names and things like that we'll get into in just a minute. But let's begin, first of all, understanding why we have two different ones. When we look at the book of Matthew, if you'll recall when we studied the four-part harmony as to the explanation as to why we have four different perspectives, you'll recall that Matthew's audience is mostly Jewish, okay? Predominantly, 99.9% of who Matthew wrote with to start with was to the Jews who were looking for whom? The Messiah. Okay? They were looking for the Messiah. And so Matthew records the genealogy that would prove to the Jews that Jesus has the right to be called Messiah. Because he is in the royal line. He is in the just line. He is in the legal line to take David's throne. So to convince the Jews, he does that. Luke's audience, on the other hand, was mostly Gentile. There were some Jews in it, but Luke himself was not a Jew. His purpose was to prove that the Messiah came for people from nations all over the earth. And who does Luke trace Jesus' lineage back to? All the way back to Adam, who was the Son of God. See the reason why they would do this? Is it depending upon your audience? Both genealogies are correct. But the audience that you're talking to, the Jews aren't interested in anybody before Abraham. So why mention it? Okay? If all Matthew needs to do is convince them that Jesus has the legal right to be the Messiah and to take the throne of David as the son of David, all he's got to do is prove to the Jews what they believe. What Luke wants to do, that it's for me and you, is that the Savior wasn't for the Jews only. That the promise given back in the garden was that it would be born of a woman. And then on up to Abraham, we find that the promise given to the Jews was that he would be a son of Abraham. But the other promise was that his seed would bless all the nations of the earth. That's the reason they come together in that. So Matthew wrote the lineage through Joseph, the legal right from a Jew's perspective, because that's what you did, is whoever dad is, that's what's traced back. And don't get confused about this, because we mentioned this last week. When Brother Jeff and Sister Angela got the birth certificate for Ty, and they are listed as the parents of Ty, legally, he is their heir. Okay? It was the same amongst the Jews. Joseph adopted Jesus and was Jesus then being the legal heir through Joseph's family. All right, so similarities, first of all. I mentioned to you that from Abraham to David, these genealogies are the same. The Messiah will be the son of Abraham. That's what Matthew tells us. Luke tells us that the seed of Abraham will be a blessing to all nations. David, the end of that chain. Matthew is tracing the royal right to be the king. And so Matthew lists the son of David, who is Solomon, because Solomon was the next king after David. And through his lineage, you'll find kings listed there. Luke, on the other hand, lists the bloodline, and he chooses another son, Nathan. And this is what's really, really cool about how the Holy Spirit preserved this for us. Through the legal right, according to the Jews, it goes through Joseph. But there was this king in that line named Jeconias. He messed up bad. He messed up so bad that God cursed his lineage and said that nobody from his family will sit on the throne of David. Not a single drop of blood that came from Jeconias came into Jesus Christ, because that is not the bloodline that he is from. The royal line, he is there and establishes to be king. But the blood, meaning anybody that would be born in Jeconias' family, can't sit on the throne, that's covered in Mary's line, because Jeconias is not in that line. See, Matthew chose Solomon going through the kings. Luke chooses Mary going the bloodline and avoids that curse. Luke's not avoiding that curse. Luke is showing how God got around the curse that he placed on that. And Jesus is still allowed to be called the Son of David. Now, are there some differences in these? Are there some names possibly missing? Yeah, there are. I mean, to be honest, if you do a Google search, you will find that the objection to many things in the Bible are these genealogies. Well, there's obvious holes in here because Chronicles will say this and Kings will say this or Samuel will say this and there'll be another genealogy. Well, there was a practice of the Jews that they would list the good and the bad kings. But then there were some guys that were so bad that they wanted to forget and they left them out of the family tree. Anybody have anybody in their family they just want to kind of leave out of their family tree? Okay, that's what the Jews did. Now, as far as sharing names, it is possible that after David, these two families came back together around the Babylonian captivity and then split apart again. There may have been an intermarriage among them, okay? But here's a bigger possibility. How many Jeffs do we have in this church? There were less Jewish names than there are American names. They shared names all of the time. I think that's probably the easier explanation of it. And so there's differences, there's missing names, and all that kind of stuff. If you want to get into those details, here is what will help you. www.google.com. Okay, and you can explore all of those different things and find out there's 1,000 different possibilities and opinions about what people think. But I'm telling you, this is the easiest explanation that I know of. So we've got a little bit of background on these things. Let's talk about some of these folks. Don't anybody panic. I'm not going to preach about every single name in these genealogies. Okay? I'm going to tell you this. I'm not even going to write about them in the blogs coming up this week because if millions of men have studied this before me and haven't figured out who some of these guys are, I'm not going to figure it out tonight and be able to write a blog about it. Okay? We just don't know about some of these guys. But I want to start with some of the famous names that we'll recognize. And honestly, we're going to find the names that we recognize in Matthew's genealogy because that's the one the Jews wrote about. Okay, that was their kingly line. They recorded the genealogy of Mary also. That's where Luke got it. He went to the temple. He asked the folks, can I see your genealogical records? And he traced it all the way back to Adam. But what we're going to find is the folks that the Jews would know and it's names that we know. In this line, we're going to find, you know, people like David and Solomon and things like that, people that we really know their names. But there was another fellow named Judah that we find in here in Matthew. He says Judas. That's the Greek spelling of it. In Genesis chapter 49, there was a promise given to the sons. And Abraham's promise is that the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. Judah was told, you're the kingly line, and there's going to be a king in your family until Shiloh come. Now, who's Shiloh? That means peace. It's Jesus. Okay, ask your Jewish friends this. Is there a king in Israel now? They'll have to say no. Then you can say, well, Shiloh must have come because the promise to Judah is that there's going to be a king until Shiloh come. Okay, might get them a little upset. But it is their lineage. So we have Judas. We have King Asa, whom my son is named after. I love watching people's reaction when I say Asa. I can tell very quickly whether they've ever read the Bible or not. Or they watched Gunsmoke, because I think there was a character on Gunsmoke one time named Asa. Well, so that's an old name, and I said, it's older than you think it is. He's named after a king in the Bible. And he's described as doing some really good stuff. His fathers before him, idolatry got worse and worse and worse and worse. Asa comes along, and Asa sees this is a huge mistake. My son's paying attention to me now. See, I do this on purpose, okay? He says, this is a mistake. And so against his mother, against his father, well, his father's gone, against all of his family, he begins to tear down the idols set up in Jerusalem. He goes out to the areas where they're worshiping outside of Jerusalem, these idols, and he begins to tear them down and really starts a huge reformation. Okay? Now, Jesus was kind of like that fella when he went into the temple and he purged it of the money changers. Matthew mentions another fella named Ezekias. We know him as Hezekiah. Hezekiah. That's a name you need to remember. Anytime somebody says, when someone passes away, well, it was just his time. Hezekiah, because of his faithfulness to God, had 15 years added to his life. I thought it was his time. Nope, he got 15 more years. Okay, God may know, but God can also change. God knew through his foreknowledge that Hezekiah was going to live that long. But God chose to make it different. Can I explain that to you? No, I just know it's a fact. But Hezekiah was blessed with that. There's another fellow named Josias. In 1 Kings, it's Josiah. This one is really, really cool because he doesn't reign until 2 Kings. But he's mentioned in 1 Kings a few hundred years before by name that he was going to be the king in Israel. That's amazing. Okay, that's one of those historical accuracies that just really, really solidifies that the Bible is the Word of God. Because you can say something vague like, well, somebody in his family 300 years from now will probably sit on the throne. No. The prophecy of this guy gave his name. Okay, that's an accurate prophecy. There's another one I'd like to mention, Zerubbabel. That one's tough to say. Okay, you can say it in your head all day long, but until you start getting those B's coming on your lips, you're not going to be able to say it. Zerubbabel. See, I even said it different that time. We know his name from studying the book of Nehemiah, don't we? He and Ezra led the children of Israel back from Babylonian captivity. Okay, and they rebuilt the temple of God there in Jerusalem. But this is something that I didn't see until a few weeks ago when somebody pointed it out to me. Most of the time, when I study Old Testament scriptures, I will look at the names of the people and I'll see what the Hebrew name means. Because a lot of times that points to an event in that person's life. Here's an example. Jacob means supplanter. Okay? He stole his brother's birthright. So his name means supplanter. I had never studied the names of the guys that I'm about to describe to you. But somebody pointed this out to me, and so I went back and looked at them. From Adam to Noah. This is cool. Adam means man. Seth, his son, means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Kenan means sorrow. Mahalalel, the blessed God. Jared shall come down. Enoch, teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, despairing. Noah, comfort and rest. There is no break in that genealogy. And if you take the meanings of their names, man is appointed to mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring him despairing, but shall bring us comfort and rest. Isn't that amazing? Okay, folks, as soon as you think you've got God figured out, back up a little bit. As soon as you think you don't need someone with that kind of wisdom and understanding and design, wake up. Wow. Victorious God, what can we pray for?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. Please visit us again later this week for the conclusion of the message, The Knots in Jesus' Family Tree. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.